Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. In just a few moments, Pastor Paul takes us once again to the story of Nehemiah and to a powerful message about what it means to be an authentic Christian. But first, he joins me right here to share some exciting news about a brand new special resource, the perfect complement to the series you're hearing now on Destined for Victory. Here's Pastor Paul.
This current study in the book of Nehemiah is so exciting, not only because it gives us the historical account of how God called and anointed Nehemiah to lead the enormous project of rebuilding the torn down wall of Jerusalem, but also because it offers principles and patterns by which you and I can see broken and dysfunctional areas of our lives rebuilt and restored as well. And I'm even more excited to let you know that Zulon Press has just published my full-length book based on this study. The book is entitled Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed. And I've decided to offer it this month in appreciation for your donation to Destined for Victory. At more than 200 pages in length, the book retails at $15.49, but I'm trusting the Lord to lead each donor in terms of what you should give this month to help us continue letting people everywhere know that our God is a restorer and He will enable us to rebuild whatever areas of our lives the enemy has tried to tear down. So when you donate during the month of September, feel free to request a copy of this impactful book. We'll get it right out to you. Thanks in advance for standing with me this month.
Well, I want you to know that Pastor Paul spent years researching and writing this book, and because he knows you can benefit from his message, he wants to share it with you today for your gift of any size to Destined for Victory. So many people have had their world crumble all around them. They felt hopeless, joyless. If you've been there before, and if you're there right now, please get in touch with us right away to request your copy of Pastor Paul's book, Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed. Again, that's Rebuilding What the Enemy Almost Destroyed, a book from Pastor Paul Shepherd, and it's our gift to you this month by request for your gift of any size. Call 855-339-5500 or visit PastorPaul.net to make a safe and secure donation online. You can also mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. Again, that address is Destined for Victory, Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538.
He has mercy on us when we're phony. But mercy and the blessing He's designated are two different things. Thank God for mercy when we need it. But if you want to get out of mercy and into blessing and divine favor, you're going to have to learn to be authentic. Lord, I'm jacked up. Here's the real deal.
As we move ahead in our study of Nehemiah today, we'll learn about one of his strongest qualities, a character trait God wants to develop in all of us. Pastor Paul Shepherd calls it authenticity. The willingness to be honest about our human frailty, to be real, as opposed to pretending we have all things figured out. It's a much-needed reminder for all of us, and it starts right now. So let's join Pastor Paul for his message, If You're Gonna Go, Go Big.
How can you be so spiritual on the one hand and be so jacked up on the other hand? I've now lived long enough, walked with God long enough, been a leader long enough to know exactly why that is. Because some people use Christianity and spirituality as a cloak to cover their stuff rather than as a foundation to deal with their stuff. And Jesus didn't come into your life for you to learn how to be a really good phony. He came into your life so you could learn how to deal with your stuff. I mean, God, and I need you to deal with that. I am a hypocrite and I need you to teach me to live with one face. We had a mother while we were growing up in Philadelphia. She says, Saints, I'm wearing one face under one hat. Because she always wore a hat to church. Oh, yeah, look, we could spend the afternoon. I'd tell you some stuff. Lord, I grew up around them saints. They had all kind of expressions. But Mother Taylor said, I'm wearing one face under one hat. That meant you're not going to catch me somewhere and I'm being something I'm not.
If I need to tell you the truth, I'm going to tell you the truth. If it make you mad, oh well. Not a phony. And we need to understand that Christ came into your life as a refiner's fire, one of the Old Testament prophets said. He came as a refiner's fire, and he sits in your life to refine you. And so you got to learn to be authentic. You got to learn to be okay. You got to learn to be in touch with yourself. If you are truly growing in your relationship with Christ and not just in your spiritual gestures, one of the signs of that growth is you will become more and more authentic. More and more people will know that you're in touch with your imperfections. You're in touch with your issues. You're in touch with your struggles. When I have to work hard to help you see you, that just means you got a lot more traveling to do on your quest to be like Christ, because you want to get in touch with you right away. And you got to note those patterns so you can take them to God and take them to the Word and take them to your accountability partners and deal with them. I have people in my life who don't ask how I'm doing. They zoom in on the specific things we've already shared. And they say, okay, what's going on here? And we talk about real issues, because you can't experience the transforming power of God if you don't go there. Where is there? There is the thing that makes you ashamed. There is the thing that makes you uncomfortable. There is the thing that you don't want to talk out loud about. Everybody in here has some areas of your life you would rather not have me hand you the mic and you disclose. Authentic. We got to learn to be authentic. Christ came to be authentic. If the more you walk with God, you're getting more phony, something is really wrong. And you need to completely retrofit your relationship with Christ. Get in touch with it. I'm not saying you're proud of it. You can feel embarrassed, but take the embarrassment to God and to brothers and sisters who can handle the truth about you, because they're dealing with the truth about themselves. I have learned that the only folk who are supposed to be in my accountability circle are people who are in touch with themselves. Because if I can trust you with your stuff, I can trust you with mine. But if you looking at me like, ooh, he sure do need prayer, and then you think you wonderful. Not telling you a thing. When you ask me how I'm doing, blessed and highly favored. Tell you that right now. If I don't think you're in touch with your stuff and your pastor, I need to know I really want to know how to pray for you. And I know that you way out of touch, don't know that you jacked up. You're not getting anything out of that, because I'm not sharing with you. I share with people who know what to do in the world of authenticity. Paul said in Romans 12, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, as a lot of Christians do. He said, but think soberly. Be sober. Yeah, I got strong points. I got areas where I'm not struggling. But I also have weak points where I need God. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Word. I need accountability. That doesn't make you anything but an authentic person. He was authentic. He wasn't trying to be phony, even when the stakes were high. In the presence of the King, he's still being authentic. Second thing that struck me as I looked at this passage was he was anxious. Nehemiah was not only authentic, he was anxious. Look at the second part of verse 2 into the first part of verse 3. When the king said this could only be sadness of heart, the next sentence says, Nehemiah said, I was very much afraid. Then the first part of verse 3 says, but I said to the king, I was very much afraid, but I had to say something to the king. Now, here's what I was talking about with authenticity. Here's what a lot of Christians don't do. They say, well, no, fear can't have any place in your life. Sometimes fear has a place. Don't tell me it can't when it already does. tell me what to do when I recognize that I'm afraid. See, I'm trying to teach you how to live the real thing, live biblical Christianity. If you are afraid, don't say, I ain't scared. When the king brought up his countenance, this is the first time, because he'd been living in authenticity, he becomes self-conscious enough to say, oh my goodness, my face is showing how I'm feeling, and I don't know what the king, who is a pagan, is going to do. He has all power over my life in earthly terms. He has power over my life, and I don't know how he's going to respond. And that's the first moment where he gets self-conscious, and he said, I was very much afraid. Here's what I want to help you understand. Here's the way I depart from some of my colleagues in ministry. I respect so many of the guys who've taught me so much about walking by faith, but some of them, I think they overdo some concepts to the detriment of the people they're teaching. I teach you how to walk by faith. I teach you how to confess the word, but I'm not going to do that at the point of making you feel like you can't own that in this moment, I am afraid. What I'd rather do is teach you what to do in response to the fear. Because if all you do is get ashamed that you're afraid, you're not going to make any progress. Nehemiah said, when I realized he was looking at my countenance and knew I was sad, I was afraid. I want to submit to you that no, we shouldn't live our lives in constant fear and all that, that we ought to be growing in terms of our faith and our dependence on God, but it is a journey. And you can't shame somebody into spiritual growth. You got to walk them from where they are to where they ought to be. And so let me walk with you.
Stay with us. The rest of today's Destined for Victory message is straight ahead. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 tells us that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to the knowledge of repentance. And that's our mission here at Destined for Victory, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. You can help. To make a safe and secure online donation, or to shop our online store for a host of great resources, please visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. Or download our free mobile app by searching Destined for Victory at your app store. Now, let's rejoin Pastor Paul for the rest of today's message. If you're going to go, go big.
If there are things in your life that right now make you afraid, don't let shame paralyze you. Instead, look at Nehemiah and use him as an example. It said, I was very much afraid, but I said to the king. And it goes on to tell us what he said. Why shouldn't he feel this way? And he talked about the ruination of the city and all of that. But look at it. I'm afraid, but I'm not going to be paralyzed. I'm going to do something that's going to get me to the place I need to be. In other words, I'm afraid, but I am going to respond by telling him what very well could get me in trouble. But I'm doing it anyway. I submit to you that when you don't let fear stop you, you are on your way to not having to deal with fear as much as you do now. When you learn how to push through it and do it anyway, you teach yourself that fear isn't a big deal. It's okay to fear. It's what I do about it that will lessen fears. In other words, Peter tells Jesus, Matthew 14, if that's really you out there, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Now, fear says, you go out there if you want to. You're about to drown in front of Jesus and these other 11 dudes. That's fear. But all he had to do was act on what the Lord said. He's the one that said, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Now the ball's in your court, Peter. The Bible doesn't say, and he became fearless. No, it didn't say anything about the fear. He just stepped out there. And I need you to understand that's what you need to do. What does God want you to do despite how you feel? That's the question. I've told you before that when we first moved to California, Our kids were 5 and 3 years old. So one of the things I learned to do in those first couple of summers was take them down to Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk, let them enjoy the rides and what have you, have a nice little time down there. And my kids heard me talk about how much I love roller coasters and what have you. So go down there, and at Santa Cruz, they had this old wooden roller coaster called the Giant Dipper. And I love wooden roller coasters. Not as crazy about the steel ones with all these loops and stuff and going everywhere, all which way. I just like up, down, up, around, up, down, up, around, up, down. Now, I rode when I was younger. I rode the steel roller coasters. But after a while, as I started getting older, it wasn't as enjoyable. And by the time I started getting off and having to bend over, I said, you know what? These steel roller coasters aren't for me. You got to learn to get in touch as you live your life. Some of y'all perpetrating a fraud, laying you in the hospital. But I told him I especially love wooden roller coasters. So I went down there and I discovered the Giant Dipper. In 1989, we first moved to California, and subsequent summers, looking forward to it. My son, when he first got here, was 3 years old. And so as he grew up those first couple of years, he finally got up 5, 6, 7. And he was fascinated by roller coasters. He loved them. Loved looking at them and loved all of that stuff. And I was waiting for the time when he would want to get on. And he was looking at them, but he was afraid to actually experience it. He loved it, the concept of it. But the question was, is he going to do it? And 1 year, we went down there, and I got my tickets. I'm going on the Giant Dipper. And he had been talking more and more. I think I want to try a roller coaster. I said, yes, son, it'll be good. But, you know, first couple times he expressed a desire, he didn't pull the trigger. I said, well, you want to go? No, no. The fear was greater than the desire. What I and his mother knew to do was not push him in the line. See, that's what some of y'all do with yourself. You try to push yourself, and you got to be authentic. I'm not ready yet. And we know not to push him in the line. You traumatize somebody, they'll never get over it. But I saw that he was creeping a little closer to the desire outweighing the fear. I said, all right, if you're not ready, don't worry about it. One of these times you're going to go. He'd watch me, and they'd watch me creeping up, and I'm waving at him while I'm creeping up on that first thing. I'm up there by myself because my wife won't go with me. The woman who said she would be by my side through thick and through thin, in good times and bad. I'm creeping up by myself or got somebody else in the seat I don't even know because my wife won't go up with me. And so I enjoyed it. One time down at Santa Cruz, my son said, Dad, I'm going to go. I said, oh, son, that'd be great. Man, it's going to be, you're going to love it. Want me to get your tickets? Yeah, yeah. And I got the tickets. And he was afraid. I can picture it now. This is a long, long time ago. The man is an adult. But I can picture that moment right now. I remember beads of sweat on his nose. On his nose. I can picture in my mind those beads of sweat on his nose. He's standing in a line with me. And he's afraid, but at this point, the desire is a little stronger than the fear. And you know that line, how, you know, every time they fill up a new car, you move up a little more. And we moving up, and I'm kind of cutting my eye down at him. See, is he all right? And he's scared, but he's going. That's what I came to tell somebody to do. You're scared, but you got to go anyhow. God's taking you somewhere. You got to take a risk anyhow. God's got plans for you, but you got to keep on moving toward those plans anyhow. At a certain point in life, you got to get like Esther. If I perish, I perish. But I'm going to do what's in my heart to do. Yeah, the king might do something to me. Yeah, this might turn out bad. But I'd rather try to move toward my goal and it not turn out right than to stay where I am and guarantee that I never go anywhere. And so he's walking. Every time they fill up the roller coaster, we're walking. And finally we up where you can see it when it comes in and all that rumbling that comes. You know that station where it comes in. And I look down to see if that was going to do it. If my man was going to say, that's all right, I'll be standing right here. But no, he kept on. Finally, we getting in the car. Daddy and son sitting there in that car, and they put that bracket down over you and lock it in. Now you're locked in. That's what some of y'all came to church so I could help you get locked in. Come on and lock on in. God, we're going to do this. God, we're going to deal with this. God, I'm not fronting anymore. We're going to go through with this. And then that moment came, it starts, and Giant Dipper goes into this little tunnel, and you go in the tunnel and just have a slight dip down just before you get up on that first incline. And now we're going up, all up toward the sky. And I'm saying, all right, man, we're going to have fun. It's going to be great. And at this point, he's not talking. He's not talking, but he's locked in. And he's creeping up with his daddy, and we're going on up. I'm grinning, he is not. But here's what I come to tell you. You don't have to grin. Just stay locked in and say, God, I'm going to trust you anyhow. And you finally get to that moment where you get to the top. And now business about to pick up. And we went down, the first one, and then the next one, and curve around and down. And you know, Giant Dipper, it'll throw you down several times. And that's why I love it so much. It's a great coaster. And when we got off, I said, ooh, I can't wait to hear this report. And as we pulled into the station, I said, son, I'm so proud of you. You did a great job, man. We got to go tell Mom and Alicia what happened or what happened. He got out, and we ran down, and he ran past me farther than to run to his mom and his sister. And the first words out of his mouth were something like, that was fun. And the second words was, I want to do it again. I came to tell somebody, if you trust God with your inclines, if you trust God with your scary places, after a while you'll see there's nothing to fear because the Lord is with you and he's going to get you where you're supposed to go. Tell the truth about yourself. Deal with your issues. There's nothing to be afraid of. God is on your side, and he is going to get you to where he's destined you to be. God is with you. He's going to get you where you're supposed to be. Don't be afraid. Own it. Be authentic. Don't be a phony. God can't bless a phony the way he's designated. He has mercy on us when we're phony. But mercy and the blessing he's designated are two different things. Thank God for mercy when we need it. But if you want to get out of mercy and into blessing and divine favor, you're going to have to learn to be authentic. Lord, I'm jacked up. Here's the real deal. I mean, Shakespeare, as far as I know, didn't walk with the Lord, but he had that part right. To thine own self, be true. Because that's where God will meet you, at the place of authenticity. And you give him your stuff. And then, although you're anxious, don't be ashamed of being anxious. Take your anxiety and say, but I'm going to trust God anyway.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. If you're going to go big. If you'd like more information about the Destined for Victory ministry, including this month's special offer of Pastor Paul Shepherd's brand new book, Rebuilding with the Enemy Almost Destroyed, call 855-339-5500. This is an exclusive one-time offer, so please call today. Again, the number is 855-339-5500. Or visit us online at pastorpaul.net. That's pastorpaul.net.
We're talking about go big. If you want God to do what you need him to do, you got to go big. I want you to know how big this request is. He is asking for a leave of absence from a prime position as cupbearer. I told you in the first message in the series, this is no little petty job. This is a significant job.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, If You're Gonna Go, Go Big. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.